The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. I've never asked Alexa to help me with my homilies before. I always forget to ask Alexa something when I need to know it. So I asked Alexa this question. "Alexa, how long can a person survive in the desert without water?" Her most intelligent response was, "In extreme heat, an adult can lose almost half a gallon of water through sweat alone. Without water, dehydration can set in within an hour in severe heat. Physical exertion without water in extreme heat can lead to death in a few hours." So Elijah has gone a day's journey into the desert until he prayed for death, saying, "Enough, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Well, I'm not entirely sure, except for the fact that he's in the desert without any bread and without any water, like the Israelites before him and like Jesus after him in the desert for 40 days. Without knowing what's going on in the context of this passage that we have as our first reading today, it doesn't really make any sense. So I thought I would give you what happens before and what happens after. There was a severe famine in Samaria. Samaria is that middle kingdom between Galilee in the north and Judah or Jerusalem in the south. The Israelites had forsaken God's covenant and had become worshipers of the god Baal. They killed the prophets of the Lord, and Elijah came along and called them out. This is now why he is fleeing into the desert. He is in trouble with Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, who threatened to have him hunted down and killed. Elijah challenged Ahab and 450 priests of Baal to a duel on Mount Carmel when he taunted Baal and called upon the Lord to send fire upon his offering, not only two bulls, but 12 boulders, one for each of the sons of Jacob, with which he built an altar, and then 12 jars of water, which he filled in the trench that he had dug around the altar. Baal didn't respond, no matter how much the priests danced and cut themselves. And then the Lord's fire came down and devoured all of it, the stones, the water, the bulls, everything, and the dust, it says. Then Elijah had the 450 prophets of Baal seized, and according to the previous chapter in the book of Kings, Elijah slaughtered them. Imagine the scene, right? 450 prophets. And at that, the famine ended and the rains came. So this is why Jezebel was furious, and Elijah fled into the desert. And that's where today's story picks up. Even though Elijah knew the power of the Lord and had seen the power of the Lord flow through him, and that he had done exactly as the Lord had commanded, He expected to die there in the desert after one day's journey into the wilderness toward the city of Beersheba in the Negev desert of Judah, south of Jerusalem. Abraham had established that city, and both he and Isaac had dug wells there and established peace treaties with the local king, Abimelech. Isaac had built an altar there, and it is the place where Jacob wrestled with the Lord after dreaming about the stairway to heaven. It was a place of encounter for the recent generations of God's people, another place of encounter. At this moment, however, he prays, "Lord, take my life." The messenger appears, an angel, and twice awakens him and commands him to eat and drink, and to start the journey to Horeb, another Israelite name for Mount Sinai, the same mountain where Moses encountered the Lord. Strengthened by this food, he walks 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, strengthened by this food. And it is there that Elijah encounters the Lord himself, not in the strong and violent wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in a light, silent sound, a whisper. After this encounter, the Lord gives him his next assignments to anoint the next king and to call Elisha to succeed him. Central to the success of all of this is the nourishment, the bread and water, that the Lord provided so that his plan could be accomplished through Elijah. The moment that Elijah felt he had nothing left to give and it was time to die, the Lord made the impossible possible. This is the point. As everybody says now, look, you and I have also have received all we need for the journey, especially in the food that we receive here at this table. But this food is for far more than the fullness signified by 40 days and 40 nights. This food is for eternity. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And Jesus says, "I am the living bread that comes down from heaven." Like the people at the time who were listening to Jesus, we can sometimes doubt. Jesus, to put it simply, has become far too familiar a concept in our life of faith, and we can lose the point entirely. Jesus is not a concept. He is a person. That person desires that we encounter him in the same way that God sought the encounter of Abraham and Isaac and Moses and Elijah. The encounter is what brings power. "They shall be taught by God himself," Jesus says, "by the Father who sent him, the same Father who draws us into the relationship so that we might believe and therefore have eternal life." I'm going to go off script here. I write these out now because I have to translate them into Spanish, but I don't get to talk freely in Spanish that much. But what I want to say to you today is that what I'm telling you now is not something I ever got. And we were a super Catholic family, or we thought we were. But we never got this idea that we've already received everything from God that we need. So I talk about this image a lot, but I think it really applies today. Because think about Elijah, ready to just lay down and die in the desert after he's seen the hand of God in his life. We were taught to receive the gifts, and they're all very nicely wrapped and beautiful, and we don't open them up. We like to look at them. We have to open up those gifts. And sometimes the experience of the church can be one of rules and guilt, and we can even accept the fact that we could never measure up to what God is calling us to do. That's where Elijah was in the desert. But it's the messenger, it's the angel that comes and wakes us up and gives us this bread of life so that we might go. Everything has been handed to us already, but we don't really know what that is. Unlike our ancestors who ate manna in the desert and still died, you may eat this bread and not die. Jesus says, "I am the living bread, and the bread I give is my flesh for the life of the world." There can be no question about the clarity of these words. Jesus is speaking very plainly. We must be clear also that the food given to us is not just so that we might not die in the desert. We would if we didn't have it. But that's not the purpose, just not to die. Because the instruction to Elijah was twofold. Eat and then go. We must get up and go where the Lord is calling us. First to that encounter and that relationship with him. And then in service to his people.